We are still in a new year, aren't we? Last week, does anybody remember what I talked about? Some of you were here, some of you weren't here, so I'll do a little reviewing. The title of the message was Strengthen What Remains. We looked at the seven letters in the book of Revelation, authored by Jesus to the seven churches in that book of Revelation. We were talking about how Jesus is the author or the architect of church revitalization. And that's kind of our theme as we start out this year, church revitalization. We said last week that what Jesus is saying in those seven letters to the churches at Revelation is that the church will not be revitalized until unless the people of that church are revitalized by three things. If you take all of the seven letters and you kind of distill it down, you could distill it down to these three things. As the people are revitalized by turning from their sin in order to obey the Lord, comes out of chapter 2 and chapter 3 in Revelation. He says that to a couple of those churches. So by turning from sin and obeying the Lord. Secondly, by growing in your love for one another, shows up three or four times in those seven letters. In growing in your love for one another. And thirdly, in growing in your loyalty, dedication, and commitment to the body of Christ, that is the church. If you distill down the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of Revelation, it distills down to that. Repenting of sin and obeying the Lord, loving one another with all we've got, and lastly, growing our commitment, dedication, and loyalty to the church is a huge part of revitalizing ourselves and therefore the church of Christ. Today, I kind of want to continue on with the theme of strengthening what remains, which was the title from last week, which comes right out of Revelation 3, verse 2, and talk about raising the bar. Raising the bar. And to do so, I'm turning to the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 5, beginning with verse 21. You have heard that our ancestors were told, this is, by the way, is Jesus speaking. You have heard that our ancestors were told, you shall not commit murder. And if you commit murder, you're liable to judgment. But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you are in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you are in danger of the fires of hell. So, if you're presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. Jesus is so concerned about this, he says it trifles or interferes with our ability to worship God when there's something between us and someone else. And that's what he's saying there. If you find yourself at worship and suddenly you remember that there's something between you and someone else, go and make that something right between you and that someone else, and then come back and worship. Jesus continues, when you're on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly, otherwise your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you've paid the last penny. You have heard the commandment that says you must not commit adultery, but I say to you, anyone who even looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So if your eye, even your good eye, causes you to lust, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. I could continue, but the Sermon on the Mount goes on for another three chapters. I just wanted to give you a flavor there for raising the bar. And turning now to Paul's letter to the Thessalonians in chapter 4. finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You live in this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more, raising the bar. He says, you're already living this way that pleases God, and now we encourage you to do so even more. The New American Standard Bible says that you might excel still more. Paul's talking about raising the bar. And then he gets a little specific with these Thessalonians. You remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife. For the Lord avenges all such sins, as we have solemnly warned you before. God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. But we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more, raising the bar. We'll stop there, and I ask you to pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we rejoice in the fact that you've given us words to live by, and pray that we will accept the challenge to raise the bar in our own lives as we are beginning this new year, for we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, well, well. Raising the bar. You know that section of Reader's Digest that says life in these United States, where people write in their own little stories? This isn't a quote from the Reader's Digest, but it is. I saw a blog online that resembled that. It was a fella who was telling a story about he and some of his friends, including his girlfriends, there were about 8 or 10 of them, were going to a concert in a city, and they found themselves waiting outside on the sidewalk to go into this concert, and his girlfriend noticed down the street a new hotel that had just been built and was pointing out the hotel, and she noticed the roof, and she says, I bet that's a swimming pool up there in the very top of that hotel. And they all began to discuss the merits of whether or not she was right and that was a swimming pool, when this fellow says, no, that's not a swimming pool, that's a bar. I'm sure that it's a bar. And the girlfriend says, well, why are you so sure it's a bar? And he says, because new hotels like to raise the bar. And then he writes, I was never so more proud to make a group of people groan. He actually said that in the end of this blog. His heart beats like my heart beats. Speaking of raising the bar, I probably ought to raise the bar on the kind of stories that I tell on these Sunday mornings. Agree or not? Anybody who wants me to raise the bar on the kind of jokes I tell, raise your hand. Oh, you guys don't mind the groaners? Thank you. Speaking of raising the bar, my grandson Matthew, who is with us today, and I hope this is cool with you. I have a picture of you, Matthew. Can you show this picture? My grandson, Matthew, is a high jumper. There he is sailing over the bar. You all know about how the high jump works? A high jump works when, by the way, I need to adjust my A high jump works where you set the bar, and then a person like Matthew gets to jump over the bar. I think, I'm not mistaken, you can help me out here, Matthew. Do they start in your track meets having the bar at 5'6" or 8", or what is it they start with? Five or 5'6" for invitationals. Let's say just 5'6". every time I ever watched you, it seemed like they always started at 5'6". And Matthew sails over the bar at 5'6". And then guess what they do after he sails over at 5'6"? They raise it up to 5'7". And if he gets over the bar at 5'7", they raise it on up. And I think the last time I saw Matthew cleared 6'1", which is his personal best, which is very good. And I'm so proud of him. And it's fun going to the track meets. And I can't wait till we start up again soon. Let me know when they are. So that's how it works, right? Why do they raise the bar? Why do they raise the bar? Because if they didn't raise the bar, it wouldn't be very fun, right? I mean, raising the bar for the spectators creates interest, right? But for those who are participating, it creates competition and a desire to be your best. Raising the bar gives us the desire to be our best. That has to do with us as individual people, and it has to do with us collectively as the church. We want to raise the bar today. I'm talking about raising the bar as individuals, knowing as we become the very best that we can be as individuals, that the church itself will also be raised up at the same time. Because remember, church revitalization is not necessarily a program or a process of the church. Church revitalization is the revitalization of the people of the church. And when the people of the church are revitalized, the church will then be revitalized. So we're talking about raising the bar today. It would not be interesting at all to keep the bar at the same place in the high jump. And the same goes for you and me in our lives. We want to be the best that we can be because that's what God is calling us to be. Raising the bar gives us the incentive to become the best we can be. Just ask Jesus, who is certainly, in today's scripture passage, intent on raising the bar for those who dare to follow him. He says, "You have heard it said that you shall not commit murder. And if you commit murder, you're liable to judgment. But I say unto you," raising the bar, even if you're angry with your brother, you're in violation of the heart of that commandment. "You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery," but I'm raising the bar on you. I just dropped it, but Jesus is raising it on us. And he says, even if you look at a person of the opposite sex with lust in your eye, you have violated the heart of that commandment. Four other times in this passage, if we were to continue to read, Jesus says, "You've heard it said," down here. He's referring to the law of Moses. "But I tell you," he's saying that his law is a little higher than the law of Moses. He's raising the bar. You come to the end there, he says, "You've heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemies, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And he winds the whole thing up in the very last verse in chapter 5, says, "Therefore you must be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." If that isn't raising the bar, I don't know what is. I thought I needed to stop there on that word perfect for a moment because it frightens most of us, probably all of us. According to W.E. Vine's dictionary of Greek words, this word perfect signifies finished, completed, or having reached its end. And the word signifies a process. Aren't you glad that it's a process? Aren't you glad that the Lord isn't wanting to look at us right now and say, "You must be perfect right now"? The word itself in the Greek signifies that it's a process. But if we are going to engage in this process of becoming perfect, becoming like Christ, then we need to talk about raising the bar. Raising the bar. There's a quote by Oliver Wendell Holmes. I think I matched it up with the picture of Matthew. Gail, there you go. No, it was Ralph Waldo Emerson. I'm sorry. "Unless you try to do something beyond what you've already mastered, you will never grow." It doesn't come from the scripture, but it's very synonymous with many of the scriptures. Unless you try to do something beyond what you've already mastered, you will never grow. We need to raise the bar for ourselves as individuals if we want to become more and more like Christ. And Paul talks about the same thing as a church. Finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord to live in a way that pleases God as we have taught you. You live in this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. Paul raises the bar for the church as Jesus raises it for individuals in the church. If you and I are going to talk about becoming more and more like Christ, then we must talk about raising the bar and not being satisfied with the status quo, which just kind of, you know, I'm just satisfied with my Christian life the way it is. That's a dangerous place to be, just to decide I'm going to be satisfied with the way I am. Raising the bar. We must always be about achieving new heights. Now I will give you the Oliver Wendell Holmes quote. I find the great thing in this world is not so much where we stand as in what direction we are moving. To reach the port of heaven, we must sail sometimes with the wind and sometimes against it. But we must sail and not drift nor lie at anchor. I'm just inciting all of us today, as I was trying to do last week, to grow, to become better, to look forward, to forget the past, as Paul says in Philippians, and press on to what God has called. God is always out in front of us, leading us, inviting us to follow Him. And we always got to be thinking in those terms. We need to be thinking in terms of raising the bar as individuals, and the church will grow commensurately. How are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? I got some practical ways. Our leaders have been watching a video series by Dr. Tom Rainer, who is the president of Lifeway. You ever go to the Lifeway bookstore down in Montrose? He's the president of Lifeway. But he's a noted author, a pastor, and a church consultant more than anything else. He's visited with hundreds and hundreds of churches all over our country to help make them better. He's talking about church revitalization. That's what he writes about. That's what many of his books are about. And our leaders have been watching these 26, I think there are, 30-minute video presentations on how to bring about revitalization in your church. And he's talking about the number one way to bring about revitalization in the people of your church is to raise the expectations in your church, to raise expectations. I was going to show you 5 minutes of his video today, but the TV didn't want to cooperate, as sometimes it doesn't. Now, next Sunday, I'll come in and hook it all up, and it'll probably just take right off. But today, it didn't want to. So I guess the powers that be determined that I just need to try to summarize what Rainer says in this 5-minute video. But basically, he's saying that you need to raise the bar by raising expectations in your church. He talks about his own denomination. He's a Southern Baptist. He talks about the fact that in the Southern Baptist denomination, there are 16 million members, and only 6 million of them are in church on any one Sunday. Not a very good percentage. Works out to be about slightly less than 40% of the members of the church of the Southern Baptist Convention are in church any given Sunday. If I run our own numbers, I'm keeping track of about 145 people who worship here, and we average about the same percentage as the Southern Baptist Church every Sunday. If everybody that participates in this congregation were here on a Sunday, we'd have about 145 people in here. In fact, it'd be standing room only this morning if everybody was here. But usually we average about 70, 75 people, so we're around 50%, something like that. So we're similar to the Southern Baptist. And Tom Rainier says the very reason that they became like that, or there's so many people who don't participate, is because of low expectations. Low expectations. And he makes the point, if you don't expect anything of people, you won't get anything. If you don't have any expectations, you won't get any, people don't participate. And he talks about this period that we've gone through in church history that began back in the mid-80s, the early 90s, when the megachurch began to come to the fore of American Christianity. and where it was all based upon, you just come and fill the seat on Sunday morning. We will entertain you with our music and our hotshot preachers. And the only incentive for you to, the only thing we expect you to do is just come and fill a seat. Warm a seat on Sunday morning. That's all we expect of you. And he's saying that that's the reason why in American Christianity today, there are so many people who are lax in their, or lackadaisical about their Christian faith, because churches didn't expect anything out of people. Therefore, you get just exactly what you expect. And he says that's nothing. And he's saying that if you want to create a church of revitalized people, you got to have expectations for people. Yeah, to have expectations. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, expectations. He says that you raise expectations in what he calls a new members class. And those of you who have seen these videos know what I'm talking about, because in every video that he has, somewhere along the line, he mentions the importance of a new membership class, which we've never had in our church. Number one, because we don't have official membership in our church. Maybe we should change that in the future. I don't know. But we've decided never to have membership because we never wanted to make a distinction between are you a member and you're not a member, and we didn't want to make that distinction. And so we've always said that people who participate here are members. That's kind of how we look at membership. I don't know if we need to change that or not, but Rainier says you need to have some kind of a class. We won't call it a new membership class. I would call it like Christianity 101 or Discipleship 101. I'm talking about setting the bar. You got to start somewhere. And so you start with a new membership class or a Christianity 101 class, in which you invite people who are newer to the church to come to it, and you lay out what your expectations are. And they see right up front, this is a church that's going to ask me to be involved in some way. And that's what we're talking about after all. We're talking about being involved other than coming and warming a seat on Sunday morning, like so many of you already do. We're trying to raise the bar, though, through creating expectations. And he's saying that high expectation churches are those that will be revitalized. Churches that expect a lot out of their people will be the churches that become revitalized. Churches that do not expect a lot out of their people are going to be those churches that continue to decline and die. And there's churches being born all the time, but there's also churches dying all the time. I just heard about a church the other day. Someone told me that I knew the pastor, and the pastor's gone, and that church just stopped meeting together right here in Medina. I didn't even know. I wasn't even aware. I thought it was a thriving church, but they just closed the doors a few weeks ago on that church. Many, many churches are going downhill in America today, and Rainer's trying to do what he can to revitalize churches. And he says the number one way to revitalize the church is to let people know that you have expectations for them in the church. And he says the number one place to do that is in a new membership class. With that in mind, I've been working on it. I've put together the curriculum for a new members class or a Christianity 101 class. And I will be offering that on a regular as needed basis soon for any new people who come to our church, just to let them know this is what our church is all about and this is the kind of expectations we have of you. And so I'm putting that curriculum together, but as I got to thinking about it, some of you would be so sad and feel left out if you didn't get to participate in that, because some of you have been around here since 2000 when we started Cross Point, and some of you have been around here for 10 years or 15 years or 5 years. And I thought, you know what, wouldn't it really be cool if all of us could start out at a base level down here at 5'6", so that we're all on the same page? Because before you raise the bar, you got to set a base, right? So it'd really be cool. And I was thinking, all right, how am I going to, you know, how often am I going to have these membership classes that I can invite everybody to participate in, all of you guys to be in this Discipleship 101 class? How am I going to do that? Am I going to have a Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday nights? And then it suddenly occurred to me that rather than try to get those logistics together, just have this new membership class on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. And that's exactly what I'm going to do, so that all of us have a chance to get on the same page and start from a base level and then start raising the bar from there. It's not going to be a class as many classes are. We will have the same format on Sunday mornings. After all, this is about worshiping the Lord. We will have exactly the same format. I'm just going to take the sermon time And the information that I convey to you during the sermon time will be that kind of information that I would convey to people who are coming to the church for the very first time. Now, to be sure, everything will be biblical. Everything will be based upon the Bible. I would never deviate from the Word of God. Everything that I say that has to do with the new membership class is going to be based upon the Bible. But we're going to talk about some elementary things just to remind ourselves about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to grow as a Christian, what does it mean to be a member of the body of Christ. We'll look at 1 Corinthians 12. We'll tear it apart inside and out. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, some other passages of Scripture that are relevant in that regard. We're going to talk about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to grow as a Christian, and what does it mean to be a member of the body of Christ. That's what we're going to talk about the next few weeks. Don't know how many weeks for sure, but we'll be working on it. From there, Rainer says on this video that we watched the leaders a couple weeks ago that you can raise the bar and set high expectations in the pulpit. And I told you just before we started Christmas that I was feeling a really deep need to go deeper on Sunday mornings than I have been over the last year. And therefore, after we're done with this series of messages on Discipleship 101, I want to do a sermon series on how to overcome temptation. I realize that I've never done a series on overcome temptation. I've preached about temptation here or there, but I like to put it all together, a series of messages about how to recognize when you're being tempted and how to overcome temptation. Because after all, we're trying to become more like Christ, are we not? If we're going to become more like Jesus, we need to know how to overcome temptation. So that, in my mind, will make a good Lenten series. And after Easter is over, rather than preach topically, like I have a tendency to preach topically, I'm going to preach expositorially. That is, I'm going to open up a book of the Bible, and we're going to go verse by verse through a book of the Bible, or two, or three. I don't know how many for sure, but I'm just going to preach expositorially rather than topically. That means that I will be preaching through a book of the Bible, verse by verse, and we'll just go through it in that way. In these ways, my friends, I hope to raise the bar for all of us as individuals and as a church to have a discipleship 101 to set a standard, and then we'll start raising the bar from there. How to overcome temptation. A book of the Bible, maybe Paul's letter to the Colossians. I've been thinking about maybe doing the letter to the Colossians or the Philippians. I might probably go with one of the letters of Paul, one of the shorter ones that's 4 or 5 or 6 chapters long. So there gives you a little preview about where we're going today. We're talking about church revitalization. We're talking about churches being revitalized as the people are being revitalized. And so we're talking about becoming more like Christ. And that's where we're headed the next few weeks. I'm talking about you giving the very best you can and I can for the Lord who gave His very best for you and for me. Giving the very best that we can. F.B. Meyer, famous 20th century preacher, wrote, "The law for Christian living is not backward but forward, not for experiences that lie behind but for doing the will of God, which is always ahead and beckoning us to follow. Leave the things that are behind and reach forward to those that are before. For in each new height to which we attain, there are joys that befit the new experience. So aim high, press forward, be the best that you can be." I have a closing story that I didn't get to last week, although if you read last week's message online, this is what is written there. So I'll get to it today. It's about Admiral Rickover. Anybody ever hear the name Admiral Rickover, who was in charge of the United States nuclear navy? He had a reputation as being strict, harsh, demanding. And he personally interviewed each person, each officer that wanted to serve in the nuclear part as nuclear submarines were coming online. mainly. He interviewed every person personally. Even though he was the head honcho, he took the time to interview each person personally who wanted to serve in the nuclear navy. One of those persons was Jimmy Carter. And he was interviewed by Admiral Rickover. And I'm just going to read you Jimmy Carter's words as he talks about the experience of being interviewed by the Admiral. I had applied for the nuclear submarine program and Admiral Rickover was interviewing me for the job, says Jimmy. It was the first time that I had met the Admiral and we sat in a large room by ourselves for more than 2 hours. And he let me choose any subjects I wished to discuss. So very carefully, I chose those about which I knew the most at the time. Current events, seamanship, music, literature, naval tactics, electronics, gunnery. And he began to ask me a series of questions of increasing difficulty. In each instance, he soon proved that I knew relatively little about the subject that I had chosen. He always looked me straight in the eye, and he never smiled. I was saturated with cold sweat for those 2 hours. Finally, he asked a question, and I thought I could redeem myself. He said, "How did you stand in your class at the Naval Academy?" Well, since I had completed my sophomore year at Georgia Tech before entering Annapolis as a plebe, I had done very well, and I swelled my chest with pride, and I answered, "Sir, I stood 59th in a class of 820. I sat back to wait for the congratulations, which never came. Instead, this question came. Did you do your best? I started to say, "Yes, sir." But then I remembered who this was and recalled several of the many times at the academy when I could have learned more about our allies, our enemies, weapons, strategy, and so forth. I finally gulped and said, "No, sir, I didn't always do my best." He stared at me for a long time and then turned his chair around to end the interview. He asked one final question, which I've never been able to forget or to answer. He said, "Why not?" I sat there for a while, shaken, and then slowly got out of my chair and left the room. Someday, you and I are going to meet the Admiral. And there's going to be a life review, the Bible says. And as so many people who have gone over to the other side and come back, they describe that very process of standing there with the Lord and their whole life suddenly flashed before their eyes in a second. Somehow they saw their whole life, they say, in just a few seconds. I don't know that Jesus is going to ask this of us. I don't think he will, but just imagine him saying to us, "Did you do your best?" I'm trying to say to you and me today, or to call forth for our best. We're entering a new year. It's a time of the year when we take stock of our lives, where we are, where we've been, where we want to go. And I ask you to think about your life as a Christian. Where are you? Where you've been? Where are you going? And make some decisions about where you want to go this coming year. As your pastor, I'm trying to raise the bar. I'm trying to say that the Lord has wonderful things in mind for us. He wants us to become more and more like Him, and what's wrong with that? It's a glorious goal to shoot for, isn't it? To give our best. Let's give our best this year. Let's give our very best. Let's build our foundation upon Christ and His teachings to us. He calls us to be perfect. We know that we're not going to be perfect in this life. As I mentioned last week, through Christ, He looks at us as being perfect. He cleans us up, washes us off, and through our faith in Jesus, the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. And remember, He looks at us that way, but we know that we had a ways to go. And I'm just inviting you to become the very best. I'm inviting me too. I'm inviting all of us to become the best we can for the sake of Christ, who gave His very best for us. So would you pray with me with that in mind? Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for the attention that these folks have given to this time. And pray that the words that have been spoken are reflective of Your will for our lives this coming year. And so I pray that You would help us to become more and more like Jesus. And that You would use these Sunday mornings to do just that. Thank You for the privilege of gathering together in Your name. Thank You for the high privilege of being able to stand and sing songs that reflect the truths of the Bible and the desire of our hearts to become more like Christ. Thank You for the word of the Lord that comes to us from the Bible. Thank You for the Holy Spirit who lives within Christians and grabs our attention for Christ's sake and places within us this desire to be all that we can be for the One who gave His everything for us. Help us as individuals, because we know that it will reflect this body of Christ, which is Your church. And help us, Lord, to be revitalized, to live again, to strengthen what remains, to raise the bar. For we ask this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.